May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So I have two faces to show you this morning. First, what kind of face do we have here? A nice face, a smiling face, a happy face. And no prizes for guessing the second face. What kind of face do we have here?
Crying.
Crying face. This poor chap is crying. A sad face. A happy face and a sad face. Joy and sorrow. Let's think a bit about happiness and sadness in the story of Jesus and also in our own lives too. What made Jesus most happy in the stories we read in the Bible? What made Jesus most happy? What are his most joyful times? Well, here's a clue. One thing that makes me happy is spending time with friends. Did that ever happen to Jesus? Did he have friends? He did. He calls his disciples, we think of them as disciples, he also calls Peter and James and John and the others, he calls them his friends. He spends time with his friends. He tells them stories. He obviously loved to tell them stories. He walks with them. He even hikes up a mountain with them. We'll hear more about that later. Having friends makes me happy. I'm sure it makes many of you very happy. I think it made Jesus happy too. And Jesus made other people, many other people, very happy. He made sick people well. He made friends with lonely people who had no friends. Think of that poor man Zacchaeus. He put a smile on many faces. Making other people happy makes us happy. And I think it made Jesus happy too. But what do you think was at the heart of happiness? For Jesus. What do you think made Jesus happier than anything else? What was his greatest joy? What do you think? Well, remember a very special moment for Jesus when he was baptized. Now, he was baptized as a grown-up, not as a baby. And when he came up out of the water, he heard the voice of God saying this, "You are my son. I love you. I'm pleased with you, very pleased with you." What a wonderful thing for him to hear and to know deeply. This mattered more than anything else to Jesus, knowing the love of God the Father and loving the Father back. The love between them was the heart of Jesus' life, the heart of all that made him joyful and happy. So, there was lots that made Jesus happy. The love between God the Father and Jesus, his love for God, his love for other people, his friends, making other people happy. There was much that made him happy. But, do you think Jesus was always happy? No. Do we ever hear about Jesus crying? This chap's crying. Do we ever hear about Jesus crying? When does Jesus cry? When his friend Lazarus got very sick and died, we hear about Jesus crying. Did he ever get upset? Well, actually, he did, Sam. He did get upset at times. He got upset when people didn't understand him, when people turned away from him and turned away from God, when he saw people doing very wrong things, he got very upset at times. Did he ever get afraid? The correct answer to all these questions is yes. He did. He did get afraid, actually, when he knew that people hated him and wanted to kill him. He got very afraid. So, Jesus was full of the happiness, the love, the light, the joy, the glory of knowing God's love and sharing that love with others. But there was also a lot in the world and in his own life that made him sad, the bad things that people did. Now, why am I talking about this today? Well, today we heard a story about Jesus and some of his friends, and I've just mentioned it just now, so I've given you a clue already. If you were listening, you'll be able to tell me this. Where did Jesus go with his friends in the story we just heard? Come on. Yep, Adriel? He went up a mountain. Well done. Well listened. Now, he went up a very high mountain with them, right to the top. I had a special birthday recently, and Helen and I walked up a big mountain with one of Helen's sisters and her husband, and we went right to the very top, and the mountain is called Neeson. And I discovered that that means sneeze. Maybe afterwards somebody can tell me why one of the most wonderful mountains in Switzerland is called Sneeze, and tell me over coffee. Not now. It was great going up Neeson most of the way, but in the last bit, about the last hour, it got very cold and the mist came down and it started snowing. We couldn't see anything when we got to the top. We were looking forward to the glorious view and we couldn't see anything. That was a bit disappointing. A big disappointment for us at the top of that mountain. But what was it like for the friends of Jesus, for Peter and James and John at the top of the mountain? Were they disappointed at the top of the mountain? What do you think, Adriel? Were they disappointed? No. Something pretty exciting happened. Something pretty exciting. Jesus was, and the word is transfigured. Jesus was transfigured before them. And that really just means changed. Jesus was changed. Usually Jesus just looked like an ordinary human being, like an ordinary man. But suddenly, Jesus was shining with light like they had never seen before. Shining with the light, the glory of God. And God said again, words just like the words at his baptism that I mentioned earlier. God said, "This is my son, I love him, listen to him." And Elijah and Moses, great servants of God, appear beside Jesus and are talking to him. Now, what was that like? Was it maybe quite scary? I suspect it was a bit scary, but it was also wonderful, a moment of the purest happiness and joy and glory. Happiness for Jesus, the love of God pouring all over him, the light of God shining through him. Happiness also for his friends, caught up with this wonderful moment, sharing this moment with him. And Peter wants this moment to last forever. He wants to freeze this moment. He says, "Lord, it's good to be here. Let's stay here forever. Let's build shelters here and stay here forever at this mountaintop moment of glory." But can they stay there? No, they can't. They have to come down because soon the glory passes, Jesus looks normal again, and they have to walk down the mountain and come back down into the valley below. And there isn't time to say what happens, but immediately they come down. They have one of the worst days ever with some of the worst problems that they face as disciples. Disappointment and failure. Jesus knows he cannot stay on the mountain and he has to take the disciples down. He knows God has work for him to do down in the dark, unfriendly world below. It wasn't in today's reading, but in Luke's version, we read that Jesus was speaking with Elijah and Moses about having to go to Jerusalem and to the cross that lies ahead of him. Because of the love of God that fills Jesus and drives him on, Jesus leaves behind the glory of the mountaintop and comes down into the darkest valley. The face of Jesus, transfigured, changed into glory on the mountain, will be disfigured in pain and shame on the cross. So in Jesus, we see a happiness, a joy, a glory that we cannot see anywhere else. The glory, the radiance of God's eternal beloved Son, who came to bring God's joy to the world. But in Jesus, we also see the deepest sadness. He is a man of sorrows. He has gone down deep, deep into the darkest places of our sorrow and sadness, our brokenness and sin. The happiness then, the happiness and the sadness that we see in Jesus, the joy and the sorrow, the glory and the suffering. But this is not just about Jesus. This is about our lives too. And we can think about this in two ways. Firstly, he is with us always in all things. And secondly, he wants us to want to decide to be with him wherever he is. So first, he's with us in all of our life, the whole of it, the good and the bad, the happy and the sad, the glory and the suffering, on the mountaintop and in the deepest, darkest dungeon of despair. The sufferings of the world, if we try to take them in, overwhelm our hearts and minds, but it is all held in the hands of God. It is all held in the heart of Jesus. And the suffering we do know directly in our own lives and in the lives of those close to us, in so many ways, so much loss and grief, so much hurt and disappointment, so much fear and anger, so much illness and depression, all of this is held in God's hands. All of this is held in the heart of Jesus. And second, the Jesus who is always with us also wants us to want to be with him, to decide to be with him, to go with him wherever he is, in both his joy and his sorrow, in his glory and in his suffering. Now, we will never walk up a mountain, literally, with Jesus, but we can know his glory just as Peter and the other disciples did. In our other reading this morning, we hear from St. Paul. Now, St. Paul was not one of the first disciples of Jesus, so he missed out on that mountain hike with Peter and James and John. But he writes to ordinary Christians just like us, God has shone his light in our hearts. God has shone in our hearts. The same light that the disciples saw in the face of Jesus, God shines that light today into our hearts if our hearts are open to God. And God wants to fill our hearts with the light of his love so that we can bring that light, that love, to others too, to the world around us, starting with those closest to us but not stopping there. Our Lord Jesus wants us, his friends, to be with him wherever he is. He also wants us to be with each other in our happiness and in our sadness, rejoicing with each other at the mountaintop moments, but sometimes, maybe often, weeping with each other, bearing each other's burdens. He came to be with us wherever we are, on the glorious mountaintop and in the darkest valley. And he calls us to choose to be with him wherever he is.